Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So there's this proposal by the Trump administration that would make it harder for immigrants to get green cards and visas if they rely on certain public benefits, now including SNAP, aka food stamps, if this goes through. The federal government already has a longstanding policy of determining eligibility for lawful permanent residency status based in part on whether someone uses certain public benefits. If the person is deemed likely to continue to rely on public assistance, that is weighed against them and they're considered a, quote, public charge. But the administration has proposed broadening the public charge test. At the moment, for example, someone who has used SNAP won't have that counted against them. But if the changes are adopted, using or even applying for SNAP food assistance could put up a wall on the path to citizenship. Now, again, these changes are only still in the proposal phase. People have until December 10th, so that's next Monday, to submit comments on them to the federal government. A comment period is required by law. And so we're going to talk about this now with that deadline approaching, the public charge test and how these changes could affect some 475,000 immigrants just in New York City by the city's calculation. And we are joined by New York City Immigrant Affairs Commissioner Bita Mustafi and Department of Social Services Commissioner Stephen Banks. Commissioners, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having us.
And I want to get the phones open right away on this because we're inviting immigrants to call in right now. If you do not have legal permanent residency and use any kind of public benefits, you may want to share your concerns and questions about this. I know some people are confused about whether they should apply for benefits that they're entitled to and need because it can count more against you or someone you know than it might have in the past. So we want your stories on this. If this whole topic is relevant to you or someone you know, call in and tell everybody else your story or ask a question if you want of Immigrant Affairs Commissioner Bita Mustafi and Department of Social Services Commissioner Stephen Banks, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Commissioner Mustafi, you want to give us a little more background on the public charge test and how it's applied currently?
Sure. Thanks for having us, Brian. So, I think what's really important to note here is that its current application is quite narrow. The government really looks at if somebody is going to be predominantly dependent upon the government to survive. And so they look at receipt of cash assistance, they look at if somebody's in long-term institutional care, and that's really it. And they're sort of looking at these other factors that they've laid out in this proposal, but those are factors that people can overcome with affidavits of support from their family members, friends, or other people, and are not really readily used to say, we don't believe that you will ever get back on your feet and that you won't be a contributing member of our communities. So what we're seeing with this proposal is really a dramatic shift away from a recognition that maybe somebody might need a little bit of help here or there to get back on their feet, to be able to realize their full potential, which is in fact what we see play out in our communities.
Because the context, I imagine, is that the Trump administration trying to cut down on the number of immigrants in any way they can are latching on to this as one of the many, many, many things that they're doing that they feel the public will get behind because, well, why should I support somebody getting permanent residency status here if I'm going to have to support them with tax dollars?
Sure. And I think one important thing to note here is that by and large, most individuals who do not have legal permanent residence in this country are not readily eligible for many of the benefits that are laid out in this proposal. I think what makes this even particularly more irresponsible is the fact that, you know, the federal government has even acknowledged that simply putting this out in the context of what you noted of this larger agenda at curtailing immigration and creating fear and increased enforcement has resulted in and will result in people who are perfectly eligible for these benefits, who are legal permanent residents or maybe have people in their households who are eligible for these benefits choosing to disenroll because they're afraid of what that might mean for their own security in the future.
So Commissioner Banks, as head of the social services part of the city government, are you seeing that already?
We're not seeing it already, but we're seeing a lot of fear. And there's some national studies showing some impact on WIC, the Women's, Infants, and Children's Nutritional Program. But we are very much focused in New York City on fighting against this and making sure that, as Beta said, that people in New York City listening to this now know that this rule is not in effect now, and that people who need these benefits should come in and get them from us. We've spent the last 5 years increasing access to benefits, making it possible, for example, to submit documents off your smartphone, apply for SNAP food stamps by online, recertify online. We've eliminated the sort of waiting in the centers to get these kind of benefits because we think nutrition is so important, and we think people who are eligible for benefits should get them. This proposal flies in the face of that. This is really a draconian proposal to undo several decades of settled law on what public charge means. And the concern we have, and we've been very clear to our frontline staff, we've issued instructions to frontline staff that this is not in effect yet. We've made it very clear in public forums that Beta and I have done along with others that this is not in effect yet, but we want people to know that they should take advantage of the public comment period because several months ago, a more draconian rule was in place, and Beta and our agency and others and the mayor led an effort to really say this goes way too far, and this proposed rule, as bad as it is, isn't as bad as it was going to be. But the impact on our clients could be very real. We found in the 1990s, when federal law changed with respect to receipt of benefits, that about 20% of people who were eligible for benefits, out of fear, didn't take them because they thought it would have an impact. This is a rule that does not affect your ability to go from being a legal permanent resident to becoming a citizen. We've got, between our benefits, food stamps, and cash assistance, and also Social Security, supplemental security income, about 275,000 New Yorkers are receiving these benefits from us who are immigrants. They're non-citizens, but they're absolutely entitled to them under federal and state law. And if 20% of those individuals withdraw, it will mean that $235 million in benefits will be out of our New York economy on top of the multiplier effect that these benefits have, about $1.79 per benefit spent in bodegas and spent in stores. So about a $420 million hit on our local economy should this go in effect.
Let's take a phone call. Lewis in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling, Lewis. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for receiving my call. So I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a DACA beneficiary, and my wife receives food stamps. And ever since we came out of the shadows, as we say it, we've been trying to make an honest living, which is like pay your taxes, you know, if you get a car, you know, pay your major payments on time. And now it seems like everywhere we turn, they're just taking, like these benefits from us, and they're making it so hard to make an honest living. You know, it's like now I didn't realize how much I had to pay taxes every year, and now last year was my first year doing it, and you know that a big chunk went over there. Now that I have to pay taxes, I didn't qualify for certain type of health insurance, so they canceled my health insurance because I was now like a working member of society, so to speak. So now I have to pay health insurance. My wife didn't qualify anymore for SNAP benefits, so they took it away. And it's just like our income, we see, you know, the money that goes into the house, we see it going slower, lower, lower every month. Now with this notice, mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, we're a little bit worried.
Commissioner Mustafa, can you give Lewis any advice?
Yeah, I mean, thank you for your question, Lewis. I think that, you know, some of the challenges that you readily laid out in terms of, you know, being able to establish yourselves, being able to, for the first time, really realize and support yourselves fully with your receipt of DACA. Congratulations on that. Is something that we recognize, you know, sometimes it might take somebody a little bit of time to really establish themselves and be able to fully support themselves. And there shouldn't be a situation while you're doing that in which you have concerns about accessing needed nutrition, healthcare, or housing. And so, you know, that's something, as you heard from Commissioner Banks, that we're deeply committed to ensuring that communities have access to and know how to access them, particularly if they're having some concerns or challenges. And that's one of the really central reasons why in this moment in time, a proposal like this is something that we must fight back against and raise our voices about. And as you heard from Brian, you have until December 10th to do that. The city has lifted up a website to make it a little bit easier, nyc.gov/public-charge, which has basic information on what this proposal says, how to access individual advice if you need it. And you can do that with the incredible investment that the mayor has made in legal services by calling 1-800-354-0365 or by calling 311 and saying Action NYC to get your individual consultation. Make sure you know what the impact might be on you or your family member, and make the decisions that you need to make for yourselves.
Commissioner Banks, I imagine that Lewis got a lot of heads nodding as he was telling his story, like, yeah, that sounds like me, that sounds like us. Can you, as Commissioner of Social Services, offer him any advice just on a personal finance level?
Yeah, I think that there are a number of services that we have in place to help someone like Lewis. First and foremost is really what Beta referenced, which is when the administration started, the city's investment in legal services was about $2 million annually. Today, it's $30 million annually. So there really is available legal consultations about the kinds of assistance that is available. And Action NYC, it's available through, you can get to it through the city's website. It's a joint partnership program through MOYA and the Department of Social Services. And someone like Lewis, there may be available things that would help him. I certainly think that's a way to proceed. And we do a tremendous amount of outreach. I would encourage him to reach out to us through 311, and we can connect him to services.
Lewis, good luck, and thank you very much for your call. What would either of you to say to, and listeners, our phone number, if you want to join the conversation, tell us your story or ask a question of the New York City Commissioner of Immigrant Affairs and the New York City Commissioner of Social Services, Beta Mustafi and Stephen Banks, respectively, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What would you say to some of the people calling and writing in who argue, you know, if you don't have a way to support yourself, you shouldn't come to this country?
Yeah, so thank you for that. I think a couple of things are really important to note, which is that even with this proposal, the federal administration, the Trump administration, was not able to propose that this rule would apply to certain immigrants, including asylees, refugees, special immigrant juveniles, individuals who have humanitarian visas because of trafficking or because they're crime victims. And part of that is because Congress statutorily has prohibited that, the application of this to that. And I think it speaks to, more broadly, the values that we have, certainly here in the ultimate city of immigrants in New York City, but as a country, in saying we really are fundamentally a nation of immigrants. You think you can talk to just about anybody and they have a story about my great-great-grandfather or my great-great-great-grandfather and the way that people built their communities and their businesses and their families was oftentimes through the support of other people and the ability to get on their feet and be able to realize that full potential. And so I think, you know, you've had these this decade-long application of the rule as being narrow for many reasons, one being the recognition that the ability for people to thrive and to be able to be secure and their ability to get healthcare and housing and food security lets them reach that full potential. That's why we see nearly 50% of our businesses are owned by immigrants. That's why we know Fortune 500 companies have many, many immigrants who have started them. And we want that. It's better for us fiscally. It's better for us overall in for the health and well-being of our communities and our society. And we want to be able to ensure that those that need those services are not only accessing them, but if they're eligible for them, they're not afraid to get them because of this climate of fear.
Deborah in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Go ahead.
So my question is, I know people who are undocumented immigrants without green cards, and they have children who are American citizens who were born here, and they've used Medicaid and daycare for those children and emergency Medicaid for themselves. So I want to know, would that affect their ability to get citizenship under this new rule?
Good question, and it is at this point just a proposal, just so we don't scare people off at this point from getting any benefits that they're entitled to. But Commissioner Banks?
I mean, the original draft proposal would have actually applied to the children of people who came here under the circumstances that you're describing. As a result of a lot of advocacy, the proposed rule does not do that. Again, as Brian said, nothing's in effect now, but the proposed rule would not hold against an adult a child's receipt of benefits. But I want to emphasize as well something that you said, Brian, that's important for people to understand in countering arguments that are made. The reason why cash assistance and long-term care were considered public charges is because that those benefits are ongoing, not supplements. And food stamps is, frankly, a work supplement. The people that we're providing benefits to in our food stamp caseload are seniors, their children, there are many people who are working. That is the vast majority of people receiving these benefits. And so the settled notion of public charge for decades was don't focus on supplements that help people get back on their feet and pursue the pathway towards success in this country. And this approach from the Trump administration is turning decades of that approach to immigration on its head in a very radical proposal.
And listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about a Trump administration proposal to make it harder for immigrants to get permanent residency status if they've used any kind of legal public assistance that currently does not stand in the way of permanent residency status. We're talking about this with the New York City Commissioners of Immigrant Affairs and Social Services, Beta Mustafi and Stephen Banks, at 212-433-WNYC. And let me follow up on what you were just saying, Commissioner Banks. How exactly would they figure under this proposal whether someone is likely to have to rely on assistance in the future? Because that's, as I understand it, the measure that they're going to use as a mark against somebody applying for permanent residency status, that if their current use of any kind of benefits makes them look likely to rely on assistance in the future. How would the new proposal, if it takes effect, measure that?
Well, that's actually a very important thing to really zero in on. This is applying to people who are seeking admission into the country or individuals that are seeking a green card. And most people in those categories are not actually eligible for any of the benefits that they're seeking to hold you accountable for to prevent you from becoming a legal permanent resident. And I think that really gets to what this is all about. This isn't about the mythology that you so clearly referred to earlier, that people are coming to the country, getting benefits, and that's somehow not fair. This is really a proposal focused on addressing people who are coming to the country that the administration wants to not come to the country. And settled law for many years has been very much focused on the situation in which you view these benefits as supplements, not a reflection of your moral character, not a reflection of whether or not you're going to be contributing to society. And so it's very important to sort of follow the money, as it were. Who does it apply to? People that are seeking to come here, who have had no opportunity to receive any of these benefits. People that are here and under existing law wouldn't be getting the benefits anyway.
So does that mean we shouldn't worry about it because it doesn't really apply to anybody?
No. I think given the history of the last 2 years, we should be very worried about these kinds of proposals. They have two impacts. They have impact on very real people who might be denied legal permanent residence status, who should, under prevailing existing norms of our society, have legal permanent residency status. And they also will have that impact that both Bea and I talked about, the chilling impact upon people who are every bit entitled to get benefits, who will disenroll out of fear as opposed to the actual letter of what is trying to be accomplished.
And can I just add to that really briefly, Brian, following your question along, which is that there's a second part to this proposal that speaks to an assessment based on a totality of circumstances is what they call it. And they're going to look at sort of a series of things. What is your age? What is your health condition? What is your income? What is your English proficiency? Sort of a series of factors. And I think what's mostly concerning about this is that's probably the most amorphous part of this proposal. Is it merely because somebody is 18 years or younger that all of a sudden that might mean that prospectively in the future they might need some of the supplements that you just heard Commissioner Banks talk about? That seems a preposterous notion that we would look at these circumstances, if you will, and we would weight them so negatively against a person who's just beginning to realize their secure immigration status in our country and their full potential here.
Nora in Mount Olive, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nora.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am absolutely enraged with this proposal. My story is I'm from Honduras. I held the TPS for 20 years. I paid taxes for all that time, plus the application fees that are not cheap. And a year and a half ago, I obtained my residence through marriage. Ended up that my American husband became abusive to me, so I became a single mom. And now that I need to renew my residence because it was a temporary residence, I am informed that this proposal is there. I received a SNAP because to get out of the situation, of the abusive situation, I took all my savings, and I ended up forced to receive assistance for my child only, the mm-hmm. SNAP. Mm-hmm. And it's just the fear. I mean, I know that it's just a proposal, but it's just the fear that they keep putting on people that that we are immigrants, is still abiding to the law, and I pay taxes for all this time. I don't know, as a immigrant that's trying to make her life better, and now my child's life better, these precedents continue putting just blocks, stumbling blocks to the immigrant. And I don't know, it's just unfair, and I hope it doesn't go to law. That's pretty much it. I'm a big fan of your radio show, by the way.
Thank you very much, Nora, and please keep calling us. Call us again. So there's a really emblematic story from Nora, where she's been using SNAP benefits to get by with her, she and her daughter in the way that she's described and the circumstances that she's described. And what this proposal would do precisely is hold that against her as she tries to renew her temporary resident status.
Yeah, I would just want to thank you so much, Nora, for telling your story and really allowing us to talk about this in a real way, about the real impact it's having on individuals. I want to also use the opportunity to give a point of clarity here, which is that if somebody is looking to renew their green card, this would not apply to them. And if somebody is looking to become a citizen, this would not apply to them. So again, super important. And I think that speaks to just how confusing this is mm-hmm. and why it's so irresponsible to create a law like this that would, or regulation, if you will, that would lead to this confusion. I would say that because of the story you just articulated and because it could have these really devastating impacts on people who are working, hardworking individuals trying to care for their families who might be in a really difficult moment in time because of a domestic violence situation that they're getting out of and need a little support, that's exactly why we got to make our voices heard before December 10th.
And so, Commissioner Banks, you want to just finish up on that point. Again, this is a proposal from the Trump administration, and there's a public comment period which ends next Monday, December 10th. How can people make an official comment?
They can make an official comment directly to the federal government. Bea is going to give you a website that you can just click right on and go right there. And in this waning moments, I just want to again emphasize it has a real human impact, but it's going to have a significant impact on the New York City economy, at least $420 million we project.
Yes, you can simply go to nyc.gov/public charge. We've made it easy for you. There's a comment box. You just have to submit your comment in there, and it goes directly to the Federal Register. Again, you have until December 10th to do that.
The New York City Immigrant Affairs Commissioner, Bita Mustafi, and the New York City Social Services Commissioner, Stephen Banks, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.